It's behind us now. Oregonians have said they want their state's budget cut by $800 million. They listened to the Measure 30 supporters of schools, senior citizens, community colleges, and public safety, whose services, to name but a few, were hanging in the balance. And then they voted to cut the services. It reminds me of a story Mark Twain told about an explorer who came upon a village of cannibals. They listened with the greatest of interest, Twain wrote, and then they ate him. It will be interesting to watch public reaction when the budget axe starts falling and voters see the sight of blood when spending cuts go from abstraction to reality. Perhaps anti-tax voters will demand to be shown that secret pile of unused money squirreled away in the Capitol by insiders who hope to force a tax increase. Leaders of the No on 30 campaign peddled that piece of fiction. Maybe their followers will now call on them to lead a scavenger hunt at the state capitol to find the moolah. Dreams of secret stores of money are just as fanciful, of course, as the dreams of supporters of the emergency tax who thought Oregon just might be ready to start rebuilding its public institutions. The next big trend in Oregon is now likely to be a middle-class exodus from public schools to private schools. Parents who can afford private tuitions are not likely to let their children wallow in public schools when their kids can get a full academic year, foreign language offerings, and other enrichment courses at private schools. This, of course, is the result that many anti-tax leaders have always hoped for. It's one of the key reasons they opposed last year's Measure 28 and this year's Measure 30, and why they'll oppose any future tax increase for public education. State Senator Charles Starr of Hillsborough let this secret slip last year when he told a constituent, "My advice to parents is don't walk from the public schools, run." Republican Senator Starr happens to be chairman of the Senate Education Committee. Abandonment of public schools will, of course, create yet another case of haves and have-nots in Oregon. Richer kids will get better, more college-friendly education than poorer kids, no matter how bright a child is. Thomas Jefferson believed that public schools are the backbone of democracy, egalitarian places where rich and poor learn side by side with an equal opportunity for success. Jefferson, one of democracy's great thinkers, emerged from a national population far smaller than Oregon's is today. With our larger population ranks, why is it, do you think, that Oregon's prevailing educational thinkers are not the Jeffersons, but the Charles Starrs? This is Lesser Coyne.